This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am at the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association's Renewable Summit, and I'm with Greg Krissick with ICM. Greg, how are you?
Doing well today. Otherwise, it looks like it's a little wintry weather mix outside, and I was where it was 70 degrees yesterday, so I'm glad I'm inside.
I bet you are. I bet it was hard to come back. But, Greg, you know, I want to talk. We have not talked about this before in Domestic Fuel, your urban air initiative. So let's start off and tell Domestic Fuel exactly what your initiative is.
Sure. Thanks, Joanna. Urban Air Initiative is a 501c4 nonprofit organization that has developed out of some work that a number of us in the ethanol industry have looked at as it relates first to mid-level ethanol blends, for example, like E30 might be one that you could choose. And when we started looking at how they perform well in engines, we also noticed emissions in the profile, emissions profile that concerned us, and they're called ultrafine particles. The chemical name is polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PAHs, which are fairly well-known pollutants from a variety of things, including like secondhand smoke. And as we tried to understand the fuel that would likely be blended with ethanol in mid-level blends, and looked at what we saw in our tests, and noticed that the mainstream media is covering more and more studies about health impacts around urban areas, we started to connect some dots on what this might mean for future use and what a mid-level blend really needs to look like.
So, Greg, from a mid-level blend perspective, are they, when you blend something like 30% ethanol with traditional gasoline, does it then lower the emissions that we're talking about?
So the profile of ethanol is very, very consistent, and the answer to your question would be yes, because of the ethanol being in there. But I probably also need to say, it depends. We've seen a couple things happen with gasoline as E10 became prevalent, and a lot of it focused around the octane level of the gasoline blend stock. And so over the last several years, almost all the gasoline blend stock has moved to what's called suboctane, 84, 85 octane, because they know 10% ethanol is going into it, and that raises it to at least the 87 of regular unleaded. We tried to start to understand that blend stock. And when we did that, we found, we did full scale, it's called gas chromatograph profiles of consumer gasoline. There's a side issue here that when engines are tested and certified to EPA, they use a certification fuel that's a very pure gasoline called indolene that you and I don't buy at the pump. So we said, what do we buy at the pump? And so we have done a couple sampling programs and also accessed a data set from one very large state in the union, which has both regulated areas, RFG, and conventional gasoline areas. And again, we have taken some extensive studies that we found through auto engineering that have set up a system for analyzing these fuels, and we've run that information that we have, the data, through this model to say, how does this break out? And so we identified that there are compounds called aromatics that show up in the gasoline. Very common aromatics are known as benzene, toluene, xylene. There are restrictions on those in gasoline, but if you look at over 100 components of gasoline that we get from the pump, the consumer gas, you find that there are many derivatives of those products, those same aromatics, and they're not necessarily regulated in the same manner. And you can have anywhere from 25 to 35% of the gallon of gasoline be these aromatics. So as more ethanol is added, which is good, stable, clean component, we have taken the research further to understand what of these derivative aromatics would be most likely to create the ultra-fine particulates in the emissions. And that's where we're at today. We think we've identified a sliver that maybe those need to be controlled in gasoline in order to make these newer engines and the mid-level blend fuels just as clean as we want them to be.
So, Greg, if that's the case, if you do continue to move forward and discover sort of the magic formula of reducing those emissions, which would clean our air, what role do you see ethanol playing in that? Will part of that be encouraging more use of ethanol in the fuel?
Well, I think there are very positive discussions with automakers about how to use mid-level blends and make sure they perform well. That's great, and that's all positive. What we don't want to happen is that unintended consequence of down the road, what happens to the gasoline blend stock. So there are authorities in law today under the Clean Air Act that may give EPA the right authority to restrict this if they understand and have this most current research. So we're gradually educating quite a few people, still identifying if there are other areas of research we need to do, and visiting with health community representatives in order to understand what some of these impacts on asthma and other pulmonary diseases may have occurred that we don't know yet. We're really trying to decide with the research community what do we know and what we don't know. And if we can really identify what we don't know, then we need a plan to implement and do the work to know what we need to know.
Great. Thank you.
Good to see you, Joanna.